Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Our twins unite.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. My name is Erin Barnes, and I've got my good friend Scott Hazelwood on the other end of this Skype telephone call podcast session. Say hi, Scotty.
Hi, Scotty. Hey, now, I know that when you hear this podcast, it'll be a little bit delayed, but our very good friend Ann Beck is celebrating her 27th birthday today.
Happy birthday, baby!
So, this is going to be at least a week late, if not 2 weeks late, because when it goes into the queue and it catches up to the other things. But happy belated birthday, Annie.
Yes. There happy belated birthday, yeah. Annie.
And happy birthday to you, Erin.
Thanks.
You're welcome. When's your birthday?
August.
Oh. Oops.
It's cool. But whatevs. So, this week on the Okla Said, on the Okla Ed Twitter chat, Jason James hosted or moderated, facilitated the conversation, and it was all about celebrating our successes. Ours, being Okla Ed's. That's teachers, correct. Educators.
It was a good chat.
It was.
It had all the feels.
Did you participate?
I did not.
I didn't either.
I caught it late.
I got in on the last question.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to get into it, but something was going on Sunday. I was watching a movie with the family, or something was up. And family time trumped Okla Ed time this week.
I know. It happens.
Yeah, it does. But it was a great chat, and Dr. James, he's hosted a couple of these sort of what are we doing good type of chats, and he does a really good job with them.
Yeah, and I like talking with him afterwards. He usually does an interview with me, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, he's fun to talk to.
Yes, he's really passionate. I don't know if you can hear his voice, but he gets a little fired up sometimes.
I mean, he goes from 0 to 90 miles an hour by the time you get to the second word of a question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of questions, should we dive in?
Oh, let's do.
All right. Question one. Everyone has a success story to tell, no matter if you're an Okla Ed T or a member of Okla Leg, a bus driver, a custodian, a cafeteria worker, teacher's aide, crosswalk volunteer, a parent, a grandparent, or a student. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. Please share your personal story. I thought that was a great question.
That was a really good one. And he included everybody.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. That was really good.
The whole community. Bring on your success story.
And so I liked Jessica Robinson's because it kind of, Jessica, I've kind of got a story there too. But saying I found my passion, my purpose, my thing by becoming a teacher is my success story.
Right. That's a good one. That's a good one. I went with Jennifer.
Because I really did get into it, but summer's off.
Yeah.
But you're such a jerk.
What, Erin, why would you say such a thing?
I don't need 30-point font. I read that really well in my 12-point font. But go ahead, Jennifer Newkirk. Don't want to steal from her limelight.
No, Jennifer Newkirk. She said, every time a student comes to the library and tells me how much they loved reading, how much they enjoyed the book I helped them pick out, they tell me they love coming to the library because it's a safe space. It's a success.
I like that.
So sort of along those lines, little Madigan Rose, our youngest, was behind the eight ball with the reading thing that was due earlier this week.
Yeah.
And she left herself 4 days to read 3 or 4 books. And so she's in fourth grade, so fourth grade sized books.
Yeah. Yikes.
Or no, fifth grade. She's in fifth grade now. Oh my gosh. She was just born yesterday. Anyway, so we're at home and we're trying to find like a chapter book that's sort of on par for a fifth grader. And sure. I tossed her Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe.
And did she like it?
She not only did she like it, for one, she went from super fussy at me because I was making her read to, oh my gosh, Dad, this is the best book. Thanks for helping me pick it.
Yeah. No, he's the C.S. Lewis has that whole series. Like, tell her to read it. It's really good.
I think she will. But I handed her, we've got all the volumes in one. So I handed her this like 1,000-page book. And she's gosh. I can't read that. No. I go, no. Just read this part. So.
Good.
Question two. Teacher success stories added to students' success stories all add up to tell your school's success story. Please share one thing your school does successfully that needs to be told. What should those not in your school know about the great things going on at your school?
That is so good. So my school does a really good job at sharing stories. We have a video series that we've been pushing out for the last couple of years, and we just tell one kid's story per week, and they've been everything from I don't feel like committing suicide anymore to, hey, I just won, you know, state at the rodeo, you know, and so, yeah, whatever they call that at state. But like I just on my own Facebook page, we have a kid who graduated last year who just got 2 8-second rides in his first pro rodeo round bout. I don't know. And so
bull riding or buckingham?
Bull riding.
Bull riding.
Like bull riding.
That like.
He's a kid. He's 18 years old. He looks so tiny on that bull, but both of his rides were 8 seconds, and he killed it.
I just couldn't do that ever.
I would love to know what it was like without, if I knew I wasn't going to get hurt, I'd do it.
I would ride the bull like in that Urban Cowboy movie, you know, where they do it all slow and the girl's dancing on it. Like I can ride that bull.
That's the bull you want to ride?
That's it. I can't go past that.
Anyway, we share our stories through video series, and I really like that.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah. I went with Natasha Jefferson on this one, and she is at @Jefferson_first. She said, CPS Reds is focusing on all means all. We're shifting to a PLC model to ensure that all students' needs are met. We offer tech, makerspaces, AP courses, concurrent courses, etc. Our district has done an amazing job at bringing in grants.
You know why?
She's right.
Why they bring in grants? They got Vanessa Perez. No. She just waves her little pen, and the grants are like, oh, we're coming to you.
Coming to you, Vanessa?
Yeah.
CPS Reds?
Yes.
No. So I really liked that. So
I went with Lavelle Compton. He is at Lavelle X Compton. He said, most of my help this year has been with the students at Capitol Hill High School, one of many schools utilizing a food pantry. They utilize resources through the regional food bank and a strong community to make sure students don't go home hungry.
Man, that's good. Is tough, but that's amazing.
And you know, it is tough, but they do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they're meeting a critical need in the community.
Yes. Question three, do you know of a student's success story, one that you're willing to share, be the voice for those students need? And so there were several really good ones to choose here. What's that?
All the feels.
Oh, so many feels. So I went Sherry Gately here because I couldn't pick just one. And so she says, honestly, there are too many to single out one. The number of first-gen college students who are rocking it in college makes my heart burst. Kids who want to give up and didn't. Kids who overcame more than most could imagine. I love my students so much.
I can't really top. I don't know if I could top that one. But I went with Carrie Hicks. She's at Hicks 4OK. And she said, I had a student enter fourth grade math on a first grade level. We worked our tails off that year, and she finished at third grade 8 months. She made more progress in 1 year than most of her peers had in 2 years. In elementary, we plant the seeds and hope they sprout. I mean, that's one of those things where if you give a standardized test, you moved a student from proficient or from needs improvement to needs improvement. That's all you did.
Right.
But that kid climbed a mountain on the way. And it's hard to recognize that in some of our standards-based stuff.
I totally agree.
You know, in some of those EOIs. And so that's amazing right there. And as a math teacher, I bow down in Carrie Hicks's direction because that is wunderbar.
That is wunderbar.
Wunderbar.
That's Boondabah. Question four.
Question four has been my experience. Service-minded people, especially Oakland EdTs, are uncomfortable telling their success story, but they love to tell success stories of others. Share one great thing a colleague of yours does to make a positive impact on the lives of their students. Hello, true story. We hate to toot our own horn, but my good friend who does this is a brilliant person.
Yeah. I have two teachers right now under my little tutelage that are going and picking up their homeless students on the weekend and working with them on the weekends right now.
Wow.
Like picking them up, feeding them, spending the entire day with them so that they can do schoolwork. And I think that's amazing.
That is, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I went with Tara Tyler on this one. She is at Mrs. Tara Tyler on the Twitter sphere. She says, I have a colleague that is always striving to be a better teacher. She's constantly talking to me about what we can do to be better, how she wants her students to be happy. She is not an attention seeker, so she goes unnoticed. But I see your love for students. Mm-hmm. Aw.
I think if you talked with almost every teacher in the 90%, they would all say that almost that exact same thing.
Yep.
Most teachers don't want to be noticed. They just want to help kids, in my experience.
I agree.
I went with Mackenzie Stevens. She's at Mackenzie's 24. She said, I was sharing some hardships of a student in one of the classrooms I have been observing. And one of my teachers went out and bought a resource that he could use in the classroom to help him succeed. She has no relationship with the student, just saw a student in need.
Man, that's really awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so... No, it's not crazy. It's awesome. It's wicked awesome.
It is wicked awesome. And the thing is, I think sometimes when we have a conversation like this, and you and I are talking back and forth because education is our world, we recognize that teachers do this all the time.
Yes.
But I don't know... If people outside of our world of education truly, truly get what teachers do for kids.
No, it's insane how much their worlds are wrapped up. And the boundaries, like, you know, these teachers are spending their own money. They're spending their own time. They're going above and beyond. You know, it's amazing. They don't just turn it off at
right.
3 or 4 or whatever, you know.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah.
So there you go. So if you've got those stories, we've got to communicate that to our communities.
Like, because we don't, then the only thing they hear is us complaining and moaning
right.
about, you know, woe is me.
Yeah, right.
All right, well, question five. I've always been amazed at how easily and how fast Oakland Ed failures find themselves told and repeated, like we were just saying. Why do you think failures move at the speed of light while our successes stay untold? How can we balance stories being told about ourselves and our schools?
And so there was a really good tweet in this question five, and I'm fairly certain Aaron and I would have both picked it. So I just got to hang on for that tweet. It's coming. But I left a note to Aaron in the margins. Don't pick that tweet.
Don't pick
that tweet. Because
yes,
you know you wanted to.
And I almost did. I really did. Because I will typically like see, I'll go out and search the tweets first and then I'll come move them into the doc. And that's how I usually miss that I picked the same tweet or whatever. So I was like pasting and I was like, ha, cheater.
Who'd you go with on this one?
So I went with Chris Paradise, who had an awesome tweet as well. She is at Chris Paradise on the Twitter. She said, part of that is on us. How many times have you asked the press to a school event, sent a press release, written an editorial, a blog focused on the best of your schoolroom? Even a social media post. They don't know what they're missing because we don't tell them.
And I think she's got a point there. A valid point, but also a valid concern for teachers, because now on top of everything else we're already doing, you want me to do all of this as well?
I know. But if all that gets out are, you know, report card grades and that, you know, third grade or fourth grade student didn't pass her math test, but she climbed the mountain.
Right.
You know, if that's all that's getting released, then shame on us.
Right. I agree. I think it's super important for every teacher to share their voice, to share the good and the bad that goes on in your classroom through a blog, and then share that on social media. A Facebook post, a Twitter post, a Tumblr post can't quite give you enough oomph to get the point across of the amazing things and the amazing challenges that you face in your classroom every day.
Yeah.
So I chose Rick Cobb. He's been back in our chats.
I love it. So he's great. Probably heard that I've been talking like all this amazing stuff on him, and he wants to hear about it.
You can follow Rick Cobb, Dr. Cobb at Grindel Rick. And now he sent a two-parter here. I liked part one better, so that's the one I chose. But he said, honestly, I don't feel this way at all. The print and broadcast media outlets in Oklahoma City have been pretty fair to us. I don't always want coverage when there's a negative story, but I don't blame them for reporting things that are newsworthy. And I think he lends a good balance to all of that. And I think he's got a fair place to do that from.
I do too. I mean, I think that their camp does really good job at telling their successes on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So when there is a negative story, it's fair and balanced. And I think that that's perfect for him.
Right. Because, you know, there is bad stuff that happens.
Yeah.
Humans
sure.
get involved. Question six. Social media has made it much easier for Oklahoma Ed to share their successes, but it shouldn't be the only outlet. Share a best practice that doesn't include social media on how you or your school tells their story.
It's a great question. And it's social media is easy because it doesn't involve a whole lot more than a few characters and a send button, right?
Right. You can write a Facebook post while going to the potty.
Yes, you can. No, but I really liked what Christy Watson said, and she is at Christy_writes on the Twitter. She said, I use school marquees, letters to the editor, messaging to parents, speak at local civics clubs. Don't neglect the experience people have when they enter a school building or attend a school event. First impressions stick. And so I really like that. You can tell your story when that adult walks through the door. You can do it on your school marquee. I mean, everywhere. So I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Amber McMath, who I love Amber McMath because it's Amber McMath who is at Mrs. McReading.
Yes.
She said, every week our 7th grade news crew produces a 10-minute show full of positive stuff going on. Kindness, student of the week, athletes, hidden talents, and our favorite, the dance move of the week. It's a huge hit. Hello. Done by kids.
Yeah, that's another wicked awesome tweet.
You know, at Memorial, right before I left, I'd started doing a podcast, and I can't remember what I called it. The Bulldog, maybe, or something, because that's what Edmund is, so the Bulldogs. Where I sent an email out to all of the faculty and I said, I don't want the popular cheerleader or the best football player. I want the kid that sneaks under the radar that's super amazing at something. And I don't care if it's an artist, singer. I don't want to talk about the kids that always get talked. I don't want the Stuco president.
Right.
I want the kid nobody knows about who's so cool, so awesome, so amazing. And I want to share their story through a podcast.
And so it went well.
It went pretty good. And we were doing that. Like teachers were emailing me. This is so great. Awesome. And it was the kid's story.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, question seven, we all agree it's important to celebrate our successes. Why do you think it is essential both internally and externally to share your story? Why is it important for Oklahoma Ed to celebrate its successes?
Raise his hand.
Scott, I'm choosing you.
If we are not sharing our story, our personal story, with our words, somebody else is going to tell your story for you.
I don't like that.
No.
Unless it's a published author who's really good and does great at highlighting amazingness.
But what if Stephen King decides to tell your story?
Yay!
Yeah, see? I mean, he's a great author, but I don't want my story to be a horror story. I want to use my words and my voice. Just like if you're listening to this, we need to hear your words, your voice for your story.
Exactly.
I feel a podium.
Soapbox put to the side. Thank you. Well, I went with Bailey Anthony on this one, and she is at Ms. Bailey Anthony. She says, as someone who's about to enter the teaching field, hearing about successes is the only way we're going to keep good teachers in Oakland Ed and make students who want to become teachers. Over half of my cohort will be leaving the state to teach out of state come May.
That's what you call an ouch.
Bam.
An ouch.
Yeah. That's really sad.
Yeah. And it's hard to make a strong statement for those leaving Oklahoma to stay.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say there's kids here, but they're going to places where there are kids as well. You know what I mean? I don't know.
And kids with hardships and kids with, you know, all the same ickiness and successes and everything else.
They're everywhere.
They've got money to do it.
So we got to look in the mirror and face that one. Wendy S. Pratt was my choice, and she's at Wendy Pratt 234. She said, because the people, and especially their representatives, do not really know what happens in our schools and the needs of Oakland Ed, please keep hashtag OKLEG informed. I chose this tweet because I think there's a lot of truth in this. I was reading, actually I was talking with some faculty at USAO. We had applied for a grant to do some things with our Native American students.
Okay.
Our grant wasn't approved. And it wasn't approved because some of the views from the people at the education department, the State Department of Ed, okay, in Washington, D.C., they were like, no. There's not really a teacher shortage in Oklahoma. Like, that was their view. And so I think people truly don't get it. We got one shot. You got one shot at fourth grade. You got one shot at fifth grade. What kind of teacher are you going to?
Yeah.
What kind of teacher are you going to put in there?
Whew.
So, yeah.
We got to do better.
I think what happens is people had that teacher, and so I'm going to make a law that addresses that teacher to make sure those teachers. I don't know. Anyway,
whew. Maybe.
I feel a vein coming out. Ugh.
It's popping. I see it. Yeah.
So question 8, in all things where improvement is the goal, it is essential for stakeholders to evaluate goals, challenges, and obstacles to success. What obstacles to success are currently present, making success more difficult for you or your school?
So I was like, how do I say this in nice ways? Because I so appreciate all of the politicians that are in our chat here
mm-hmm.
lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want them to see without screaming at them, you know, I want to be nice. And a lot of them are new, like, you know, they're hoping to become our new legislators. So what are you going to yell at them about? Right. They haven't done anything yet. So I was like, how do we say this in such a nice way? And I didn't have to, because Renee Bell found a way to say it for me. She is at BioBell Rocks, and she says, too often in education, we're comparing apples and oranges. It's different. It's difficult to show growth when the numbers are on different groups and show up a year later. We need to be showing achievement within the same groups. And I think that that's so, so imperative. Invested, wouldn't it be amazing if you could do a pre and a post test each year versus, you know what I'm saying? Like, versus one test, and then you've got a real snapshot of a kid versus how they did on a certain day of a certain year. And you're comparing them from, you know, third grade to fourth grade. I don't know. I feel like it's so hard when we get the testing data. I, as a parent, just got my own kids this week.
Last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks.
And it's like, what do you do with that?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do. It's 6 months too late because numbers got to be figured out. This is where I go, what if we did some type of portfolio thing and we started collecting that portfolio artifacts, you know, the first week of school?
Yeah.
But then how do you grade that?
How do you decide that?
So.
I don't know. But I do think if we did a pre-test, post-test, or maybe like choose the benchmarking system you like best, whether it's Alpha Plus or MapNWEA. Let's pick one of those as a state and benchmark versus, you know, one snapshot, and then see real growth and reward that growth. I don't know. Because then fourth grader who just climbed the mountain, we're just going to keep bringing that fourth grader up.
Right.
You know, fourth grader that climbed a mountain, not only are we seeing that kid's successes, but we're seeing that teacher really killed it this year.
Right.
You know, I mean, that teacher killed it this year.
And that doesn't show up in the one day snapshot. It still, no. still shows up as, you know, not proficient or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, so soapbox put away again. Thank you. Thank you, Renee, for saying what I needed to say nicely.
And I like what Robert Franklin, he's at Franklin MPH, he's had to say this. He said body count, ratios of counselors to students and staff class sizes that are not where they started when HB, House Bill 1017 first kicked in.
If people in the federal, you know, education department don't think that we have a problem, who are you going to preach to? Because Oklahoma is just going to take what we're saying to them, and they're like, yeah, not right. a problem.
And I think that's something that needs to be understood here. I think there's misconceptions about what the money from last spring did. All it did was gave existing teachers a raise plus a little bit extra, which didn't go very far because textbooks have been out of whack for like 4 years now.
Yeah.
And so you got to catch up on all of that. I mean, there was no money to hire new people.
No.
I'm doing this podcast, people. Can you see me with my hands? Listener, can you see my hand?
Flailing said hands yes. all over the place.
Jeez. Okay.
Okay. Question 9. Teacher shortage, teacher pay raises, testing, and accountability. Class size versus efficiency, flexibility, and State Question 800, funding and reform. What policy or legislative issue do you believe will have the biggest, most positive impact to your success story?
You picked the best tweet ever.
I picked the funniest tweet ever, and it came from Rick Cobb.
Yeah.
He says, obviously, it's universal sunscreen. This is a big win of 2018 legislative session.
True story.
For Johnson & Johnson, at least.
Now, we're laughing, but thanks to our legislature now, our students can legally put on sunscreen while at school.
Thank you.
Because I guess they couldn't do that before. We used to send them with sunscreen before the law went into effect. So I don't know. I guess we were breaking a law we didn't know existed.
Breaking the law. I mean, breaking the law that, with my sunscreen.
That was a bill that went through the process of becoming a law. Aaron, you didn't say
no, we didn't break up right there. We had nothing to say after that. No, listener, we're still here.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so I went with Cindy Johnson, and she is at Johnson Math. Her reply was, the best positive legislation would be funding to educate emergency certified teachers.
Oh, yeah.
Fund the hiring of additional teachers to maintain and enforce class size limits. Most importantly, Oklahoma vote legislators who value public education and are willing to support it. I think she hit the nail on the head here with provide funding to educate emergency certified teachers. There's almost 2,000 of them at the last session that were approved. Of the state board.
Yeah.
That's a lot of emergency certified people. They haven't gone through traditional things. They could be great teachers. They may not be great. We don't know, but
they're
a whole bunch of them.
Your child.
That's right. And they're going to need help because they just are missing some experiences that you get when you go through a traditional teacher education program.
Yeah. No, I agree. Question 10.
So is there a policy or legislative issue that you feel would have a negative impact to the Okla Ed story?
Yes. And I went with Rick Cobb again on this one. I think many of us feel pretty, there were tons of tweets, but many of us feel this way. The voucher wolves are always out there. They're looking to make their move. They've been on guard against their narrative. We've been on guard against their narrative, their bills, their sheep outfits. And I think that that's true, but they're tricky. They will do their best to get in anywhere they can. So
we have to be aware of that. And scrolling through question 10, because I didn't participate in the chat on Sunday, but scrolling through question 10 is like vouchers.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
To a public education person.
Indeed.
Take a shot.
The new listener has no idea what we're talking about. Like they've tuned in last week and this week, and they're like,
if you've only listened to the last four or five episodes of Oakless Said, scroll back in the Twitter feed or scroll back in the Oakless Said feed all the way back to the first, I don't know, three or four or five episodes, and the word indeed came up quite a bit.
Indeed.
So
it's like 12 shots. You're up to 12 shots right now.
You're going
to
be feeling good.
One minute.
Jun Kim, he's at MPS Technology. Gosh, love that guy. I wish we were closer neighbors because I could spend most of my weekends just orbiting his amazingness. But he said, and this was his answer for both 9 and 10, makes me nervous either way when anyone says, trust me, blank policy decision will help kids.
Yeah, and he had the Grinch on there.
Yeah, and he had the Grinch picture with the evil grinny sort of situation.
Indeed.
Ah!
I did.
You did it again.
Okay. Boom sauces. I liked yours.
Okay.
But I'm gonna go first. I went with Jason Bangs here. He said, ultimately, our successes and the successes of our students is something that can be attributed to a single piece of legislation. Sure, each of them will have some impact, but the teacher in the room has a greater impact than any legislative measure. And man, I just want to remind all teachers that are listening, we have done a lot with a very little for a really long time. And I think that in and of itself is a success, but it doesn't matter what gets passed in the House, in the Senate. Teacher, you have a greater impact on those kids than anything that happens in that Capitol building.
True story.
All right.
I went with Kristen Atchley, and this is in response to question 5. So I teased it a minute ago. She's my boom sauce tweet. Question 5 said, I've always been amazed at how easily and fast OCLA Ed failures find themselves being told or repeated. So that was sort of where it started. And Kristen said, I've been involved in one of the worst OCLA Ed days in our history when seven of my students died. It's the worst feeling. And now we have so many shelters in schools. Failures have a place in the conversation. So, right. I mean, that was there's definitely good things that have come out of that one.
Yeah.
All right.
I got teary-eyed right there.
I can tell.
Sorry. Next week on the Twitter chat, Seth Meyer is going to have a conversation with us about reimagining discipline. What could discipline look like?
It looks like getting up every morning and having your routine down. You're disciplined. You get up, you brush your teeth, you floss, you get dressed, you have coffee, you leave. You do it every morning, the exact same.
I was seeing that in my head. I was thinking hanging by the toes from the rafters.
For fun?
No.
Because the kid was bad? You did that to a kid because the kid was bad? That's what you did?
Getting disciplined? Yeah, that's how I discipline around here.
I will keep it safe that you said that.
Okay.
Won't let it
And just pointing out, Todd Gregg schooled us today on Central Daylight Time.
We are UTC minus 6, everybody.
No, minus 5. Minus 5 right now.
Oh, God.
No, it is minus 6 right now. Central Daylight Time. Yes. Minus 6.
Whatever time it is in Chicago, that's what time it is the Oakland Ed chat will occur. That's at 8 o'clock on Sundays, Chicago time.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Okay, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
What up?
You.
I know. Oh, I am exhausted, buddy. I mean, I had 5 meetings today.
From the comfort of your bed?
From my, and that I was like, sorry, not sorry.
I get to be boss. What are you going to do?
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma. Okay.